Lord, we come before you, and I pray you be with my brother here. I want to, first of all, thank you for saving him. I want to thank you for calling him out of the world and then calling him into the ministry. And I pray that right now, Lord, as we discuss the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would you just touch him and touch us through him. And, Lord, we thank you. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we ask for your presence here in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad that you're here. And Pastor Mark said that I'm his good friend. And I'm such a good friend that he invited me after you have been here all week long. And then you just ate dinner, and so I understand if half of you sleep. So this is my first time at your church, so he's probably testing me out. And I thank you for allowing me to come, and I thank God for your pastor. You have such a great man for a pastor, and I'm thankful for him and his family and getting to know him. He's been a good friend for the last couple years, and like he said, I lived in Las Vegas for 12 years. And then I don't know what happened to me. I moved to Indiana, and I'm just thankful to be out of the state of Indiana because I'm thawing out right now. I can't tell you. I've never even understood how to shovel snow. And I lived in Florida, and I lived in Indiana or in Vegas. And so when I came to Indiana, the first night we moved there, it snowed. And a warming gift for my church, they gave me, the first night I was at my house, someone stopped by, and as a gift as being their new pastor, they gave me a big shovel, and they gave me this tub of salt. I'm like, what? No, these are the weirdest gifts. I am in for it. This church is weird. And they gave me a thing called salt, and I didn't know if you put it, they just eat a lot of salt or what, and snowed, like, that night, and then it wasn't that bad, and a week later, it snowed really bad, and I noticed the streets all had snow on it, and people were outside shoveling snow, and I've never done that before, and so I found out that I had someone who really liked me because they gave me a shovel, and so I learned how to shovel snow, and I learned it because I watched out of the second story window of my house for about 30 minutes, two third graders doing snow in their driveway, and so I copied them and how they shoveled snow, and it worked out pretty good, and so who's smarter than a third grader? Not me. So I'm learning how to live in Indiana. I never had a big jacket in my life, and I bought a big jacket, and I thank God for it. I know you guys get snow, so you're like, get over it and get on with the sermon. I'm still in shock, so really, you came here. I came here for you to minister to me, and I'm still in shock. I've been a pastor, a senior pastor, for 15 years, and two Sundays ago, I did the first thing I've ever done as a senior pastor, and I lived in Vegas, you know, how can there be a first for me? And the first was I had to cancel church because we couldn't get out of our driveways, because in a matter of an hour and a half, we had 13 inches of snow in an hour and a half. And crazy. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And I've never canceled church before. Are you going to strike me dead? And I think he's okay with it, though, because everything went okay. You've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I've been asked to talk to you about the works of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to try and be very practical with you tonight. And God has, in his wisdom, has just been able to give me some things and some thoughts that have helped me really come to know him in a better way. And I want to give that to you this evening. And I love the local church. I'm in love with the local church. I think God uses the local church in our day and age to impact the community and to reach the world. And I believe that you are an important part of this area. I believe you are an important part of what God wants to do. I believe the youngest person in this room to the oldest person in this room has a very important part in the local church. I believe one of the worst things a Christian can do, can take for granted for what they have to offer their church. And so I love the local church, and I believe God works through the local church, and I believe God works through your church. And so I believe you're an important part of God's activity in this area. And so I hope that you would really, really explore what God would have you to do in your life, and what he would have you to do with the gifts that he's created you with. I love the book of Acts, and the book of Acts tells us about the start of the local church. And so if you have your Bible tonight, I'm going to be in the book of Acts the next two nights at talking about the Holy Spirit and His works and how He works through the local church. The book of Acts is an intriguing and amazing story of how the first century church began. I don't know about you, but these stories in the book of Acts truly, truly amaze me. Luke gives, the author of the book of Acts, Luke gives an eyewitness account of Jesus Christ. He gives Jesus Christ instructions to the apostles for their post-ascension activity when he ascended back to heaven, which becomes a general outline of the book itself and ministry in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Luke's work serves as the bridge from the life of Christ to the church of Christ, from four gospels to the epistles. And the book of Acts covers apologetics. The book of Acts covers apologetics and gives us an example of how to present and defend the gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles. It also covers the Holy Spirit, which Luke mentions some 55 times in the book of Acts. 55 times he mentions the Holy Spirit, and he mentions the importance of the Holy Spirit. It also mentions expansion to show us in the ripple effect of the gospel moving. And last, Luke gives us transparency when it comes to victories and struggles and how they made it in the local church. How many of you know about struggles in the local church? Anybody in here struggling? Just a few of you. My friend Kevin back there, he's always struggling. But all of us struggle in the local church. We're not perfect. The truth is the church is a thriving local church when the church is a messy church. We're all a mess. I'm here to encourage you. I came all the way in to tell you, you're a mess. We're all a mess. We all have issues. We all have problems. And the book of Acts gives us a very honest look at how the local church struggled with sin, how the local church struggled with imperfections, and how they impacted and reached their community. The book of Acts is a reminder of how powerful an active church can be. It's a reminder of how powerful an active church can be. You know, these are old stats, but every year, nearly 4,000 new churches open their doors, and every year, approximately about 7,000 churches close their doors. You know what I like to ask myself, even as pastoring in the places I've pastored, if the doors of the church I pastored closed, would our community notice it even was there or wasn't there? And unfortunately, churches close their doors. And I believe they close their doors because they're not active. They're not active with the power of the church and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the city I just moved to, there's a church on every corner. I noticed there's churches in your city as well. In our city, there's a church on every corner. And even in a lot of corners, I can't believe it. There's like four churches in one corner from where I pastor now. But the truth is in the city of Indianapolis, over half of the population do not attend or affiliate with a New Testament church. It's amazing, even here in the state of Nevada. I lived here for 12 years. I loved this state and was very involved in the state. And the issues of the local church, the established local church, and the issues of people giving up on the local church, and the issues of people not understanding how powerful the local church could be is very sad to me. I could go on and on, but you get the point that the church is declining. The church is declining in every way. The church is declining with our young people. It seems when they turn 18, they walk out the door and they never come back. Unfortunately, we see people come back to church in their 40s and 50s, and they've gone out and they've gone away from God, and they've gone away from the power of God. And we see brokenness all over our country and all over the world because people have turned away from God and away from the things of God. Why? I ask myself why. That tells me that the local church is not cutting it. That tells me that there's a problem with the local church. That tells me that our churches today look nothing like the first century church. That tells me that we've been so busy in building buildings. We've been so busy in starting programs. We've been so busy worried about music and what not to sing and what to sing and what to use and what not to use that we're forgetting the very ingredient that helps us with the local church to begin with. The book of Acts shows us what the power of the church is. You know, I could go on about the problems in the church, but I'm not here to talk about the problems in the church. I'm here to talk about the solution of the local church. And the solution of the local church is not better buildings. The solution of the local church is not a good sign. The solution of the local church is not a nice website. The solution of the local church is not a nice brochure to hand out. But the solution of the local church is to make sure that we understand what the power of the local church is to begin with. Let me say this. I am all for all those things. But when we take the place of what the power of the church is, we destroy the local church. You know, in order for the church to be what God intended for it to be, the church must activate. You know, God gave me this word years ago, and stay with me, I'm going somewhere with this, and God gave me this word activate years ago. A church to be active in their community. The church to be active in their family. A church to be active for the cause of Christ. You know, the purpose of the church is this, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 28, and in verse number 19 through 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded to you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, the purpose of the local church is to make disciples. That is the job of the local church. It's for us in this room to make disciples. It's for us to go out into our mission field, our neighborhoods, our workplace, our families, and make disciples for Jesus Christ. An active church is a church that understands its purpose. Can I tell you the purpose of this church tonight? Is for you to make disciples and to reach more people for Christ. It's for you to make sure that you impact your community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gives us a clear understanding of what the church's activity is supposed to be. The church's activity is supposed to be a place where people can come in that are not judged, that are loved like Jesus would love them, that are picked up, that are brought to Jesus, that are brought to the throne of grace and are impacted through the local church because we understand what Jesus did for us and we want that to happen to others. And it's important for us to understand that our purpose here tonight, our purpose of understanding the Holy Spirit, our purpose of turning the lights on, our purpose of having all our programs, our purpose of having all the things we have at a local church is to do one thing, and that is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. You see, because a church that makes disciples for Jesus Christ will never die. A church that makes disciples for Jesus Christ will not get put off on some other thing that is not as important as what God has us to do. So how does a church stay active? You know, I made the mistake. Your pastor asked me to come up to the church at 5 o'clock today. And here, 5 o'clock here is 8 o'clock where I'm at now. And I thought, man, I have plenty of time. I got here actually at 4:30, and no one was here. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go get me a drink or something, and water, by the way. I went up to get me a drink, and so I said, I passed the Walmart. I'm going to turn around and go to the Walmart. That's the craziest place in this town. If you stand in an aisle longer than 10 seconds, you will get run over from a lady in Walmart. It happened just a minute ago. But man, everybody was in Walmart in this. Were you there? Everybody was in Walmart in the city. You know, I walk through there and so many people, and I watch people. I like to watch people. And I watch people. And it's amazing to me how many different people with different priorities, with different walks of life, come to Walmart. And then something happened. I thought I was going to be on time. I was at the cash register, and I was paying, and all of a sudden, they locked down Walmart. Locked it down. I thought, well, I don't think there's a warrant out for my arrest, but I could be wrong. And over the loudspeaker, there was a little girl missing. And so they wouldn't let anybody in, anybody out, and so I was late. And I was late, but then they finally found the girl. You know, I tell you that story because I was thinking of your church. I was thinking of that family that probably panicked because they didn't know where their little girl was. And I watched how all the community in Walmart were looking for this little girl, and I watched them come together over this one purpose. You know what I thought of? I thought of, wouldn't that be awesome if this church had one purpose, and that purpose of reaching that family with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I thought of? I thought of, does that family know Jesus? Well, in the time that they couldn't find the little girl, I thought of, does that little girl know who Jesus Christ is in her life? Ladies and gentlemen, if the local church doesn't spread the gospel and make disciples, then no one else will, and no one else is. And so, how does a church stay active in the Great Commission and not get sidetracked? We live in a day when the church's message is rejected outside and even inside the church. We live in a day when the church has become irrelevant. We live in a day when the church is just something people do. And we live in a day when the church is misunderstood, but it was rejected in Bible times as well. But it was rejected by men and women in Bible times. So how did 12 men successfully change the world with the gospel? Think about that. 12 men changed the world with the gospel. I believe they did it the same way we can today. The first step in activating the local church is to remember that we have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit as the 12 men who impacted and changed the world with the gospel. We have the same Holy Spirit of every character in the Bible that we study about, and every character in the Bible that we look to, and every character in the Bible that we think about and think, man, they were so great and they were so awesome. And I believe they were good men and women, but they were just like you and me with problems and messes in life and had the same Holy Spirit. Would you look at Acts chapter number 1? Verse number 1 says this. It says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. This is Jesus. And Jesus, after he had died on the cross and he rose again, he appeared to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. And notice this, he says, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Notice what Jesus told the disciples to do. He told them to wait on the promise. You know what that promise was? The promise was the Holy Spirit. The promise was the Holy Spirit, and the same Holy Spirit is present and available to God's sons and daughters today. You know, God didn't expect us to do it ourselves. I don't know about you, but there's been times that I've tried to do things for God that I felt inadequate. There's been times when I've done things for God and I felt like I could not do it. There's been times in my life where I've disappointed God and I've sinned against God and I've done things wrong. And I've even said to myself, I'm a pastor and it seems like sometimes I get so off track when it comes to my relationship with God. You know what I got to remember, and you have to remember too? That God never intended for you to try and make disciples alone. God never intended for you to try and live the Christian life alone. God never intended for you to be perfect, but he intended to give you, which you have if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you to guide you through your life. You know, whenever people or circumstances feel inadequate, God offers his children the boldness and courage to walk without fear in their life and to own the name of Jesus without hesitation and embarrassment. My friend, I don't know you, you don't know me. But no matter where you're at in your life, the Holy Spirit can allow you to pick up the pieces and walk boldly in the faith, knowing that there is a purpose and there is a plan for you in your life. From the youngest person in this room to the oldest person in this room, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he's going to put people in your path. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit take a hold of your life, you can be a missionary for Jesus on a daily basis. You know, so many people do not allow the Holy Spirit to use them because they feel inadequate. They feel embarrassed. They feel that they're not good enough to tell their testimony. And I believe the most unused part of the church is actually the power to activate the church of God to begin with. And that is the Holy Spirit. If we're to be successful in our church, it will be because we have put our focus on what brings the church power. If you're going to be successful in this area, it's going to be because you focused on the power of the Holy Spirit. My friend, tonight, there is nothing you need more than the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you need more than the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need money. You don't need talent. You don't need buildings. You don't need programs. All you need is a group of people tonight that say, I'm torn up. I'm broken inside. I've done things I'm ashamed of. I cannot believe the way life turned out, but I know that he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I know that he loves me, and I know that he sent his son to die for me, and I know that I've received him as my Savior. And I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within me, and all I need to make an impact in my life and the community is for the Holy Spirit to lead me through. you know, what I want you to leave here with tonight is the works of the Holy Spirit comes when you allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to lead you. So how do we do that? How do you make an impact? You know, sometimes people will come to a church like this and say, how does a local church make an impact in the community? I want to tell you how, through the Holy Spirit tonight. If you have a pen or a piece of paper, I challenge you to write down a couple notes. But let's look at how we do that through the local church. First thing is the plug into the power. Just write down, plug into the power. You know, verse number 6 of Acts 1 says this. It says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice what he said. He said, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Unfortunately, most people who identify with the church never really get to know the true power of the church. They never really get to know the true power they have inside of them. If you're here tonight and you say that you are a child of God, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you know without a doubt that you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit's power that lives inside of you. But too often, most Christians do not plug in to the power. You know what we do? We spend all of our time praying for a miracle. I'm for miracles, and God performs miracles. He's performed in my life. But can I tell you, for this community, you are the miracle? God's not sending anyone else. He's sending you. God's not sending. Instead of praying for God to bring someone along to help change and impact this community, understand that you are that miracle. You're that miracle, and all you have to do is plug into the power of the Holy Spirit in order to make that impact that you desire for your community to have with the Holy Spirit and His power. So the Bible says in this verse, it says, Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice that to start the first century church, they plugged into the power. That power being the Holy Spirit. Church can become a set of empty deeds. You know, I grew up in church. I grew up in church from the moment, from the cradle roll all the way to now. And I remember growing up in church, and there was times in my life when I lived at church. I was a pastor's kid. I lived at church every time the doors were open. Communion was my favorite services. You want to know why? Because while my dad was counseling after the service, I ate all the crackers and drank the juice. Don't judge. It was a rough life. Okay? I was hungry. I grew up in church. But you know, unfortunately, I've seen people come and go from church. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of good people start out on fire for God, start out living their life for God, and seeing the impact that God made in their life, and then I see that fire go out. And it's because we do things on our own without plugging into the power of the Holy Spirit. May I say to you, no matter what you do in ministry here, make sure you plug into the power. Make sure you're not doing ministry on your own, because that can overtake you. It can derail you. You can get burned out without plugging into the power. You can do things in your own agenda without plugging into the power. You can do things that are not of God if you don't plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. And here we see Jesus said, when you receive the power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, church can become a set of empty deeds or a pursuit to fulfill our need to be good, or a set of programs that insiders enjoy if we don't constantly yield to the Holy Spirit. Christians take for granted the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the success of church. And Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 16 with me, if you would. John 16, and I'm going to read it for the sake of time, and you can turn there and catch up with me. Verse number 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper is the Holy Spirit. The Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin. Because they do not believe in me concerning righteousness. Because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. This is the Holy Spirit. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Declare it to you. Without the Holy Spirit, John 16 basically tells us without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And we can do not what God wants. We will not do what God wants from us. I'm not very handy. But I discovered something, and I asked your pastor to get it for me, but I discovered a neat little thing, a neat tool. And some of you are going to laugh, but when I have things that need to be fixed, if my car needs to be fixed, I don't fix them. That's why they have mechanics. Amen. Jiffy Lube is my favorite friend. I don't change the oil. I just didn't grow up that way. Construction. I remember doing construction about 10 years ago. I decided to help our men do construction. We were building a wall, and I put up drywall by myself because no one was there yet. And they came, and all of a sudden, I became the errand boy because the drywall gaps were this big. I thought they could patch them, you know. They kept sending me to Home Depot. Just stay out of our way. And you know what I discovered? I discovered this thing right here. It's a shop vac. How many of you have a shop vac? It is the coolest thing in the world. You know, I love this thing. And I even wanted to demonstrate for you like an infomercial, okay? There's a picture of water. It's going to get loud here. I'm going to turn it on, okay? So you turn this on, and it sucks up the water. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. You know what else it does? This is paper. That's awesome. But tell me you don't think that's the neatest thing in the world. Come on. In all reality, I'm probably the only one that thinks it's cool because you've probably used this 100 times. Don't nod your head. That's so discouraging for the pastor when you nod your head at that. What in the world? You know, this is pretty cool. Did you know this is a lot more powerful than a regular vacuum cleaner? I got one at home. I'm like, do we need the shop vac, honey? I really want to use that thing. There's some breadcrumbs on the floor. Let me get that sucker. It's powerful. You know what the shop vac is for? To clean up messes. It cleans up stuff that a vacuum cleaner, if it tried to vacuum what I just vacuumed up, it would ruin the vacuum cleaner, would it not? You know what the church is designed to do? The church is designed to clean up messes. The church was designed to take a messy life and clean it up. The church was designed, when you walk through here, you sense the power of the Holy Spirit because the church is plugged into the power of the Spirit. And when you come through that door, you're all equal, no matter what's going on in your life. You know what the problem in most churches is? The problem is this shop vac does not work if you unplug it. Most churches look like a shop vac. Most churches look like they can clean up the messes. Most churches have nice facilities. They have nice programs. They have nice things to offer the community. But there's a problem. Because programs do not reach a community. Church buildings do not reach a community. The people inside the church that are plugged into the power reach the community for Jesus Christ. You see, and the problem with most Christians is they are equipped to vacuum up the water. They are equipped to pick up the paper. They are equipped to make disciples. They are equipped to change lives. They are equipped to go to their work and make a difference. They are equipped to go home and make disciples with their children. They are equipped to reach the down and out. They are equipped to reach the atheist who believes there is no God. They are equipped to change their community. But churches are not changing their community because we do not see the works of the Holy Spirit because we've unplugged the Holy Spirit in our life. You see, without plugging this in, this shop vac cannot do what it's supposed to do. And it's useless. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight what I want to compel to you at this church, what I want to compel and tell you tonight is I'm glad we're meeting here. I'm thankful that you sung out loud with these hymns of the faith. I'm thankful for the facilities. I'm thankful for your spirit. I'm thankful for all your programs. But if you do not plug into the power of the Holy Spirit, you will never see the works that are beyond your imagination of what can be done, like we saw in the books of Acts when 12 men turned the world upside down. You know, we see the shop vac here is a great example. You know, the local church looks more like a vacuum today in a box than a shop vac doing the messes. Without plugging in the shop vac, the power, it cannot do all the great things. And this is the same with the local church. And good people show up and good people engage into good deeds, but it doesn't get the job done. Notice when you're plugged in to the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts you receive in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Boy, you want to change and impact the community. Plug into the power and you'll naturally see the works of the Holy Spirit overflow out of your life, which means out of the church's life. Plug into the power. In order for the church, which is you and me, to activate in what God called us to do, we must plug in and recognize the power of the church. Here's another thing I want you to write down with the works of the Holy Spirit. Use the power. Use it. Look at verse 8. The last part, Acts 1, verse 8 says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up for you into heaven, will come into the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, and which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, could you imagine being there? Can you imagine being standing there and all of a sudden Jesus says, hey, you're going to be my witnesses, and boom, there he goes. You know, sometimes we criticize people in the Bible, but think if you were there. The angels, two men came and said, hey, hello, quit staring up at the clouds. What do you mean quit staring up at the clouds? That was the coolest thing I've ever saw. Like, get busy, go. It's time for you to go. No, that is awesome. And kind of creepy, too, wouldn't you? Really? But here they are. They're standing there, and the power was given to these men to go and reach the world. The power was to be used to glorify God. And the church has become so many things. I believe a busy church is a useless church. But a church focused on being active in the Great Commission brings fear to the enemy of God. I want to say that to you again because I challenge you to try and write that down. I believe a busy church is a useless church. It's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you busy. The enemy wants you spread out. The enemy wants you too busy to talk to God. The enemy wants you too busy to use the power of the Holy Spirit. The enemy wants you too busy to study for a lesson. The enemy wants you too busy to disciple your family. The enemy wants you too busy in life. I believe a busy church is a useless church, but a church focused on being active in the Great Commission brings fear to the enemy of God. When we're active in the Great Commission, we'll see the Holy Spirit work like we've never seen him before. And the church has become powerless and distracted. And in America, we've mixed the American dream with the purpose of the church, and we've lost it. It's hard to find churches doing what God intended them to do, and my challenge to you is use the power within you. God wanted the church to be used to help messes. How many of you know your community's a mess? How many of you know America's a mess? The world's a mess. And God intended to use you like the shop vac cleans up messes. If we use the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to say things to people we never thought we could say. We'll be able to be bold enough to share our testimony. We'll be able to take on things that we've never thought we'd be able to take on. Why? Because we were intentional with not being busy. We were intentional by using the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. This is important. It's hard to find churches that will do that. God wanted the church to be used to help the message to reach people, but we can only do that when we come to the realization that the end game for God was not to save us, but to bring glory to Himself. That changes our view of why the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us, and we start to use it. You know what most people think? Most people think the end game for God was just to save us. The end game for God was to save us, which brings glory to Himself. You know, most people use salvation as a get-out-of-free-jail card. Most people use church to make them feel good about their life. Most people will do good deeds so they feel better about themselves. But my friend, let me tell you tonight that God did not save you just to sit in the church building. God did not save you just to give tithe to a church so the light bill can be paid. God did not save you so the pastor can tell you what to do. God did not save you so you could hear good lessons about the Bible. But God saved you. You have the Holy Spirit's power to change your world if you would use it and understand that you were saved to bring glory to God Himself. When you change your way of thinking about your family and your home life, about I'm to bring glory to God, you'll want to use the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we've realized that, it changes our view why the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us in the first place, and we start to use it. Here's one more thing. I want you to write down, continue in the power. Continue in the power. Look at verse number 13 of Acts 1. It says this, and when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. I want you to notice, underline or mark this, the last part of that verse says, all these with one accord. I believe the hardest thing in keeping a church activated to fulfill the Great Commission comes from continuing in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the hardest time to activate the spiritual side of life is not when we're unsuccessful. Because being unsuccessful makes you go to your Creator. The hard times in life, I believe, are easier to plug into the power than the good times of life. You know, the biggest detriment of a local church is when things are going well and we forget that it's the power that made things go well, not ourselves. You know, the biggest challenge in your life spiritually is going to be this, continuing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The works of the Holy Spirit. And I know tonight I'm not getting in so much depth of the subject matter more than I am the practicality of how a Christian should live their life with the Holy Spirit to see the works of the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the hardest things for us to realize is we need the Holy Spirit's power, not just in the bad times, but in the good times. You know, I can just sense, just being here, just in this little bit of time, the last 10 minutes I've been preaching. I want you to think I've only been preaching 10 minutes. Now, the little time I've been with you, there's a great spirit in this church. I can tell you, just in the little time I've known your pastor, he wants the Holy Spirit's presence leading in his life. You can't get better than that. I sense it in you. But there's going to be a temptation. There's going to be a time. And as his church continues to grow, he's been telling us great things about the church. As this church continues to grow, there's going to be a temptation to get sidetracked, to continue in the power. Success brings the enemy. Success derails the spirit when we let it. We stop using and continuing in the power. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be to a point where you're going to be tempted to keep things to yourself. Do you know that one church cannot reach this community? How many of you would agree with that? Churches plant churches. You know what that means? That means churches plant churches with really, really good disciples. And that means the people that are working here one day are going to be asked to go somewhere else and lead other people to the Lord. And if we're not careful, church becomes about us and our church community instead of about the whole community. And success brings the enemy. And it derails us. It derails us. And so continuing in the power is a challenge. And we see in this verse, it says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves. We get distracted spiritually and we become lost. When we use it on our own for our own purpose, we lose it. We lose the success. We lose what church was intended for. And church starts going in different directions. Ministry after ministry gets started. Before you know it, there are silos in a church. Before you know it, a church is having issues within the church. Why? Because we didn't continue in the power. You know, I can tell you if Pastor Mark is anything like our church, and Kevin can tell you the same thing. He's here tonight, and I'm sure many of you can. At my church, I get a phone call almost every day of somebody wanting to support a ministry. I get church members many times, and you probably have a heart for different ministries, but my job is to be the gatekeeper to make sure that we're continuing in the power of the Holy Spirit to make disciples. We can't do 100 ministries. You know what happens in churches and Christians? What we do is God blesses us and we use the power, and then here's what we do. We walk so far away with our shop vac that we become unplugged from the power. And so the church is dying before they even know it, because we're dying spiritually inside, because we think we're doing good and we think we're having good results, but we're not letting the Holy Spirit lead us. So the power is gone. And good things distract us from the greatest thing of continuing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me challenge you in closing tonight. God gave the power. God saved us to bring glory to Him, not to make us feel good about what we are doing. And Ephesians 5:16 says this, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is a debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us this power, the Holy Spirit's power, to help Him, not ourselves. At our church, everything we do, we say must be bigger than ourselves, because if it's just us, then it's not of God. At your church, I challenge you, make everything bigger than yourself. Because just yourself does not change lives. But it is the power within us that does that. And we must put ourselves in a position to use that power. You know, we must continue to use the power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen to this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at salvation. It happens once. It's a past event. And it's for all believers. Listen to this. It is a positional truth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is identification with Jesus Christ. It's instantaneous at salvation. Everyone who is saved receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Stay with me. There's a difference, though, than the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit can happen many times. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a present reality. The filling of the Holy Spirit is only for obedient believers to God. The filling of the Holy Spirit enables the believer to live a life for Christ when naturally we couldn't do that. The filling of the Holy Spirit brings communion and fellowship and unity to a church. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a repeated experience when a believer yields to Him and brings diversity to the body of Jesus Christ in service for God. There is a difference in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit to see the works of the Spirit present in our everyday life. We redeem the time and glorify God when we actually continue to use the power He's left us. the shop vac, as you can tell, I'm very excited about. It's a tool I've recently discovered. It's powerful. But if it sits in my garage and collects dust, it's useless. You know what I'm afraid of? Churches have become useless because the power has become dormant. And if these young people sitting in this room are going to know and experience what you've experienced, it's going to be because of the continual power of the Holy Spirit shows an outward of works in your life that changes others. You know my hope for you and my desire for you? I love you as a brother in Christ. We are the church. My hope and desire for you is to get so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you understand that He is all you need. And in the book of Acts, we see the only thing the local church needed was the power. And when they plugged into the power, they continued in the power. And they saw themselves and others being used by God because of something greater in themselves. Where are you at when it comes to the power of the church? Where are you at when it comes to the fulfilling and the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Where are you at when it comes to what God wants you to do inside of His church? Where are you at when it comes to your community, your coworker? See, every day we wake up, we have an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit lead us to see Him in action every day. And my friend, my desire for our church, us as believers, is for us to plug into the power and use that power and continue in the power. And if the Lord tarries 10 years from now, if this church is focused on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power, you will continue to impact your world. Would you bow your heads right there with me? Would you bow your heads right there before we continue? When I go to different cities and I see different things, it impacts me. I totally connected Walmart and the people in it with this church. As I walked through the aisles there, I realized the hope of the people in that building, it's connected with the people in this building. With the Holy Spirit leading our lives so that we can reach and impact our community. Before I turn it over to your pastor, would you reflect on the message tonight? Maybe you're here and you have not plugged into the power. First, to plug into it, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I would like to have a relationship with Him. I don't know if He knows me personally. I would like to think so, but Pastor, I'm not sure if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No one's looking but me. I want to pray for you. You don't know me. I don't know you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you say, Pastor, I can't plug into the power because I really don't know Him. Would you pray for me? If I can know Him personally, I want to know. Would you pray for me that I would know? Would you lift your hand up right there and let me pray for you in just a moment? I'm not going to embarrass you. Come back to you. God bless you. I see your hands. You can put them down. I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand all over the room. There's several tonight. Can I say to you, the Holy Spirit is speaking. You're here tonight is no accident. I would challenge you in a moment. We're going to have everyone stand. I'll be down here. Your pastor will be here. Would love to talk to you before you leave. If you raised your hand before you leave, the most important decision you can make is coming to Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you, wants a personal relationship with you. If you raise your hand, I beg you, talk to one of us. And maybe you're here, you've been here a long time. You started going through the motions. maybe things are growing fast, or maybe things are happening in your life, or maybe challenges have happened, and you've kind of gotten off focus of what life's about. And you say, Pastor, would you pray with me that I start using the power again? That I start being the husband I'm supposed to be by the power of the Holy Spirit, and let the works of the Holy Spirit overflow in my life so I can be what I'm supposed to be as a man, as a husband, as a father. Maybe you say, as a wife, as a parent, as a church member, as a child of God, when I go to work tomorrow, would you pray with me that I'll start using the power that is within me again so that I can see His works? Say, Pastor, would you pray with me as I pray to God? Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you? Wow, you're not alone. All over. I'm raising my hand. You can put that down. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. Then your pastor will take over. And I'm challenging you. Don't leave here without speaking back to God as He's spoken to you. If you raised your hand and want a personal relationship, in a moment I challenge you to come. I challenge you, if you raised your hand, to use an altar. Use it at your seat. Come down front and pray. And make a motion to God that, God, I want your power in my life. Father, I'm praying. I don't know why you've allowed our paths to connect, but I am sure as I stand here, this is what you wanted me to say. So God, I pray that you'd use it tonight. Lord, I pray for those that raise their hands that don't know you personally. I pray that they would understand this is a divine appointment from you. And they would not leave here without knowing for sure. And Lord, I pray for those that have not been using the power. I pray for these teenagers in this room that they know you, that they would start using. They would ask you for the power to be used in their life. I pray for the men and women in this room, parents, husbands, and wives. Lord, I pray that they would use the power they desire to. Lord, I pray for the next few moments we would just seek your face and allow your power to be fleshed out in our lives throughout this week so that we can make a difference in the community. And we'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name.